Friends, the Apostle Paul reminds us and calls us to respond to the mercy of God by presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. This, he says, is our true spiritual worship. Likewise, James, who says true religion consists in the way we care for widows and orphans and notice the needs of the dispossessed. So, friends, as we gather today, let's be mindful that the liturgy that most pleases God is not just words from our lips, but the liturgy of our lives. Please be seated. Friends, again, welcome. Please stand and join in singing together the hymn, Praise the Lord, His Glory Show. Please be seated. Well, again, welcome. Thank you for joining us in person here at Scots Church, Melbourne. Thank you for joining us, those who are with us online today. A warm welcome to you too. During January, you will see and hear a number of folks from our evening Scott City congregation. Dan and Ellie played for us earlier. Douglas will be bringing the Bible reading a little later. And welcome to our Scott's City folks. If you are new to Scott's Church, please take a moment to introduce yourself on one of the introduction cards. You can do that either digitally or by filling it in the card and leaving it at the foyer desk. And as I usually say, please do grab a copy of our church magazine, The Leaflet. They're spread around the pews. Grab one if you spot one, though they are becoming collector's items, I believe. Look around. Now, do join us afterwards for a cuppa and a chat. That's over on the mezzanine level of the Westpac building behind me. And the best thing to do is leave by that door. I don't know whether to call it the front or the back, whichever way you like to think of it, through there and follow the signs up to the mezzanine. And a great opportunity, if you are new with us, to meet the rest of the Scots Church family. We're going to sing again, O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people are still fed. Please be seated, and I'd invite you to join with me in prayer. Lord God, Father of the fatherless, protector of the widow, advocate of the sojourner in the land of Israel, you call your people to model your generosity in our dealings with one another and in our dealings with others. And this morning, as we prepare to hear the challenge of your word to us through the letter of James, we ask that you would give us the humility to hear and respond as we remember that you are the Lord who sees not the surface but the heart. Move in our hearts today, we pray, as the implanted word of your gospel transforms us one word and action at a time, that your will on earth would be done by us as we grow in the wisdom of your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And again, a Happy New Year to all. Now, there is a note, if you're following along in the order of service, that if you're visiting today, we invite you just to be our guest as the offering plate comes around during the next hymn. Pass it by and just enjoy being here as part of our hospitality to you. Let's stand and join in singing our next hymn, In Heavenly Love Abiding.
As part of our pastoral prayer today, we'll be praying for an Australian Presbyterian World Mission family, Matt and Kate Vinicum and their children, who serve Jesus on Groot Island. They were visiting Kate's family in South Australia, and when driving near there on Christmas evening, they hit a kangaroo and rolled their vehicle. The three children are unharmed. Matt has been released from hospital, recovering from his injuries, but Kate has serious injuries, including spinal injuries, is still in intensive care, and they're hoping to move her to Melbourne, where the family have their support. Also, we will be praying for several families of church members who have died recently, and for John Wilson, the clerk of our Victorian Assembly, his wife Paula, and their family at the death of their daughter Emily on Friday. Psalm 46 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. At the end of the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you are our refuge and strength. We're sorry for how often we forget this and try to do things our own way and in our own strength. Help us, Father, to be still and know that you alone are God. Thanks that through Jesus you have been exalted once and for all, and that we can live as your people, forgiven by him, and gradually by your Spirit changed to be like him. We pray our church here will be a group of people living humble lives, each day growing in the fruit of your Spirit. We especially pray for love, joy, and peace to be on display to those around us this week. As we face the joys and the griefs of life on earth, help us to keep remembering you alone are God. You made us and you sustain us, and we're so thankful we can keep trusting you. Father, we pray for those who are suffering the grief of separation from death of family. We pray for the families of Nancy Spears and Elva Williams, women from our church family who have died in the last few weeks. Father, we pray that they will find their refuge and strength in you. We pray for John and Paula Wilson and their family at the death of Emily after a long battle with illness. Lord, wrap your loving arms around them and bring to each of these families moments of joy and thankfulness as they remember the life you gave to each of these women. Father, you are the giver and taker of life. We praise you for new life. We especially thank you for the safe arrival of Guy to Graham and Rhoda Heading in December, and we look forward to the arrival of Sol and Rosie's grandchild this week. Lord, we pray for your love and protection to be on these children, and we pray that they will come to love Jesus. Father, we want to pray for our church. We pray as the new year gets underway that we would all take time to be still and learn from you. Thanks as we work our way through the book of James, that you will teach us how we can put our faith into practice. Help us to be sharing the love of Jesus with others. We pray Scots will be a light to those around us and that we will attract others to knowing you. Help us to share our faith in you in both words and in our actions. Thanks for those who seek to share Jesus in cultures different to their own. Thanks for the work that the Vinicum family has been doing amongst the Indigenous people of Groot Island. Father, we pray you would bring miraculous healing to both Matt and Kate. Particularly, we ask you would give wisdom to Kate's medical team and that she would continue to show signs of improvement. We pray her transfer to the Melbourne Spinal Unit would happen quickly. Thanks, you protect the children, and we pray for their grandparents as they care for the whole family during the months ahead. Lord, please be kind and generous to them. Lord, thank you that you are a God of all healing. We pray for those who are unwell in our church. We pray you'd bring healing to Morella Keast from her fractured hip. We pray you'd also continue to strengthen her in her faith. Thanks also for Ray Anstey healing after her falls, and we pray she'd continue to find her joy in you in her new residential care. Thanks for your kindness and abundant love for each of us. Thanks we can give out of what you've given us. Help us to be generous and cheerful givers, and please accept what we've given both today and through our online offerings. Lord, help our boards and trustees use what you've provided to further the work of Jesus here and further afield. Help them look to ways that they can build up your church so others may come to know of your refuge, your strength and stillness in knowing that you alone are God. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 17 to 22. You shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. Now from James chapter 1. Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like someone who looks intently at their natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he or she will be blessed in their doing. If anyone thinks they are religious and does not bridle their tongue, but deceives their heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Amen.
Thank you, Douglas. Please pray with me for a moment before we look at God's word together. Lord God, as we turn to your word this morning, we pray indeed that we would not be hearers only. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Randomly the other day, this post came up on my Facebook feed. You may be able to see it on the screen, a humorous example of why the English language is so ridiculously hard to master. Ironically titled, "Why is English so much fun?" It's an example sentence, if you can't see it, that uses the word "had" four times in a row and yet makes perfect sense. And to those of you here today who have actually had to learn English as a second language, you have my endless admiration. Oddly, though, and this is sheer coincidence, the example sentence cuts right to the very heart of the point of our passage in James this morning. An idea, in fact, that carries right through the letter. And while the sentence may be awkwardly constructed and slightly ridiculous, James would say the person who the sentence describes is even more so slightly ridiculous. So let me read it to you if you can't see it. All the faith he had had no effect on the outcome of his life. Perhaps better, all the faith he claimed he had had no effect on the way he lived. How would you like that on your gravestone? How would you like to be known as the kind of person who claimed loyalty to Jesus? Which is how last week I suggested we could define the kind of faith James is talking about here. A person who claimed loyalty to Jesus, and yet there was no visible evidence to back it up. Grammatically, that sentence might make perfect sense, but James says in every other way it is nonsense. It's a theme that he'll unpack through the next few chapters. And we're just catching the opening ideas this morning. But James puts it this way. He says, what's the point of claiming faith if you're not going to actually listen to the word and then do something? What's the point of listening if you are not going to do? Verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like someone who looks intently at their natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he or she will be blessed in their doing. Now, look, I've got to admit, you get to an age where looking in a mirror isn't much help anymore, because there's not much you can actually do about what you see there. But leave that aside for a moment, because the whole point of a mirror, and back in those days they used to use a disc of highly polished bronze, the whole point of a mirror was the same as it is now, that you can check your appearance before you go out and fix what needs fixing. Fix that stray hair. Wipe off that leftover breakfast. Straighten your tie. I've got this weird thing happening with the cartilage in my left ear. It kind of clicks out of shape and I don't notice. Always a good idea to check in the mirror. But what does it say about you if you pause to look in the mirror? You see the egg yolk on your face, your hair's a mess, your tie's crooked, and you're somehow distracted by something else. So you walk away, do nothing about it. So that's what it's like, says James, if you are a hearer of the word and not a doer. That's his point back in verse 19. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Button your lips a little bit more, replace your impulsive anger with a bit more patience. Get rid of your unrighteousness instead of arcing up and justifying it. And instead, he says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Which is, in other words, the message of the gospel that implants in hearts and brings change. The word of the death and resurrection and ascension and rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as we saw last week, calls us to undivided loyalty, not just of hearing and ignoring, but listening and doing. Not just of looking in the mirror and forgetting what we see, but of catching a glimpse of how we really are, and then repenting by doing differently to what we did before. All the faith he had had no effect on the outcome of his life. It's not an option, says James. He says the guy or girl who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets, James says there is no benefit in that, no blessing in looking and forgetting, but blessing in actually doing. Which he then brings to bear on two things that are incredibly practical. How they use their tongues with one another, which you'll say lots more about in chapter 3, and how they treat the poor, which you'll detail in chapter 2 and elsewhere. And maybe there's a mirror for us to look into here as well. I didn't count them myself to check, but I read the other day that one in every 10 verses in the Gospels is about how we treat the poor, and in James, one verse in every 5 is about caring for the poor. Now look, of course, it's not a new idea. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were meant to be distinctive in the way they cared for the widows and orphans and refugees among them. We heard an example this morning in that first reading from Deuteronomy chapter 24. In that, because Israel was to always have a strong corporate memory of the way they started out as slaves in Egypt, it's meant to carry over in the way they always leave a little bit behind when they harvest to provide for the widows and the orphans and the refugee. I could have equally chosen a similar passage from Exodus 22 or Exodus 23 or Leviticus 23 or Deuteronomy 10 or Deuteronomy 14 or 15 or 26 or 27. I could have chosen to read from Psalm 68, Psalm 72, Psalm 146, Proverbs 15, Proverbs 22, Job 29, Job 31, Isaiah 1, Isaiah 10, Isaiah 58, Jeremiah 5, Jeremiah 7, 22, Ezekiel 16 and 22, Amos, Zechariah. Now, don't worry if you couldn't see that list on the screen. The point is, there are loads of them. And remember, these are Jewish Christians who have known the Old Testament scriptures all their lives, now free, of course, from the yoke of punishment and slavery under the law because of Jesus. But more importantly, free to do right, with a desire that is meant to flow from their changing hearts. But of course, they actually need to get up and do something, not just hear the words, not be like the fool who looks in the mirror. Now, friends, you're here at Scott's Church this morning. I don't know, though, if being truly religious is something that's even on your agenda. It's not so much even a popular idea anymore, except in a maybe vaguely spiritual way. But time was, a certain type of person liked to think of themselves as being upright and religious, and it was all measured by Sunday. You might secretly have that view of yourself, given that maybe you've come along here to Scott's all your life. And of course, there's great music and a pipe organ and a choir. You might wear your Sunday best, put on a religious Sunday attitude, and be very piously Presbyterian. Seems to me there might be people James has in mind who are still pretty piously proud of their Jewish heritage, with maybe a slight Christian overlay. And yet it seems it's only skin deep, and the word of the gospel hasn't really implanted in their hearts and changed them at all. And so they're no different. Which means, says James, they are not really religious at all, in the way that really counts. And maybe, in spite of appearances, just maybe, could be a little bit true of you as well. Best ask yourself the question. Have a good hard look in the mirror. First of all, just briefly today, because we'll deal with it more in a couple of weeks. First of all, the tongue problem. When you look in the mirror, do you see someone who is known for their sharp and cutting tongue? Cuts other people down without even thinking about it. Acerbic might be the word that comes to mind. Critical. Or maybe in another way, maybe just someone who takes up all the space talking about yourself, never really listening to anyone else because deep down you're not really that interested. Well, here's the thing. James says if anyone thinks they are religious and does not bridle their tongue, but deceives their heart, this person's religion is worthless. Ouch. Look in the mirror again. Do you see someone there who, functionally speaking, who, when the rubber hits the road, in a practical sense, cares about nobody but yourself, and I guess your immediate family circle? There is poverty and hardship all around you, and you just don't notice, and you just do nothing. Because ultimately, it's their own fault, isn't it? And you worked hard for what you got. They don't really want to work, do they? James says this, back to religion again, verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Widows and orphans. in the first century world, the most vulnerable in the community. No social security, no means of support, bereft of a patriarch in a patriarchal society. In Old Testament Israel, again, the litmus test of them as a nation was how they cared for the weakest. For Jesus, you might remember, the source of his anger at the temple hierarchy, who he said devoured widows' houses and extracted every last cent from them. Now, maybe it's not widows and orphans these days who are most vulnerable. But friends, let's open our eyes. It's interesting. You know, the real mark, I suspect, of the quality of Scott's church isn't measured by the scintillating sermons on a Sunday or the quality of the choir singing the cantata. Maybe in God's eyes, it's what happens through the week, particularly on a Monday and a Tuesday at our mission out in Flemington, where a little team of volunteers give their time and their effort and their money to caring for the disadvantaged. The refugee mums with their little kids who so look forward to the weekly food hamper that's taken our team dozens and dozens of man and woman hours to pick up from the food bank and package up into 100 hamper baskets to give out on a Tuesday morning. If you're looking for a definition of what it means to be religious, if you're looking for an example of what real worship looks like, don't look so much here on a Sunday. Look there on a Tuesday morning. Or the way perhaps you buy lunch for a homeless guy on the corner of Lonsdale Street. Or the way you give generously to the Salvos Appeal. Or the way you look for opportunities to share what you've been blessed with, even when it's costly or inconvenient. Now, friends, to be honest, I know there are astonishing examples of people here at Scott's who do that by reflex and make a big difference. But interesting, did you notice our first reading from Deuteronomy? It was all about microeconomics, leaving a sheaf in the field, a few grapes on the vine. It doesn't have to be grand. And maybe for you, this is a new idea. So maybe just look to make a small start like that. Lou and I love supporting Cafe Issus just off Flinders Lane. Now, on the one hand, the coffee is really good. On the other hand, they do this. If you can't see it on the screen, there's a sign on the wall that says, pay it forward. And for $3.50 from you, they'll provide a meal for a homeless person. Currently, they're serving, they say, 30 people a day. Now, that's not huge, but it's something. Here's a practical suggestion. What about a bunch of us from Scott's? We're to go there just one or two at a time over the next few weeks and months. And on top of our coffee and cake, why not pay it forward for 10 homeless people? Maybe even 30 homeless people, a whole day of them. I don't know, maybe even the next 100. Here's the thing, don't even have to cook the meals. Don't have to invent a new charity. Don't have to join a committee. Just add a dash of generosity to your coffee order. Cafe Issus, centre place. Now friends, little gestures like that, they're not going to solve the homelessness problem in Melbourne. Brendan up at the Salvation Army is working full steam ahead and feels it's just a drop in a very, very big ocean. But the point is, for each of us, if one by one we could make sure our religion isn't just empty words and show that by showing to others the same sort of generosity we have been shown by the Lord Jesus to us. Then, you see, it is a powerful sign of the fruit of the seed of that sown gospel. Not that our works of charity save us, but that they're a sure sign of the fruit of what James calls that implanted word that saves our souls, our faith at work, which, as I said, James is going to expand at length in chapter 2. So, look in the mirror. See yourself. And maybe just in a few ways this week, remember what you see long enough to tidy up around the edges. Trim your tongue, maybe. Shine up your compassion. Because what a terrible shame if, apart from the awkward English, your only epitaph was that all the faith she had had no effect on the outcome of her life. Please join me in prayer. Lord our God, you have been gracious to us in the gift of our Lord Jesus. And we pray indeed that that gospel word of his grace would penetrate our hearts to the point of changing our lives, that we might be doers of the word and not hearers alone. We ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, friends, we're going to stand and sing again our final hymn this morning. We have heard the joyful sound. Friends, again, thanks for being with us here at Scots Church today, especially if you've been visiting. And again, a big thanks to Dan and Ellie from our evening congregation, our guest musicians, who will also be playing the postlude in a few moments. Again, please do remember to stay and join us for refreshments upstairs. Follow the signs out the back door. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit move in our hearts and minds and move through our hands, and comfort and keep us now and forevermore. Amen.